You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Bojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister E.D. Cotton. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Theater, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. And I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website, www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword, elders.
Is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
I'm an Igbo boy from the southwest side of Houston, Texas, and this is my first time on late night TV. Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. More backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war, and poverty. each other hand. They don't have so very long before the judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away?
Kimmel Live Concert Series is presented by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Quojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Cotton. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. And I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website, www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword, elders.
Welcome. This is your host, Dr. Janine James, and we are here today, the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee has sponsored our program today, and we have an extremely exciting program today, and I'm looking forward to meeting each of you. As are our listeners, and I will be introducing our guest in just a moment, but I would like to tell you the purpose of the Sankofa Council from our bylaws is that this is an organization using African principles of unity and cooperation to create a healing environment for our community. I'd like to remind all of us that are those who have tuned in that the microphones are extremely sensitive, so we ask that you mute, keep your phones muted until you are ready to speak or have your question, and we will call on you. And you want to make sure that your background noise is very low because our microphones will pick those up. Our program today is Black Land Loss and Human Tragedy. Black land loss in the United States refers to the loss of land ownership and rights by Black people residing or farming in the United States. In 1862, the United States government passed the Homestead Act, which was intended to give land grants to individuals seeking land to farm. Black people were defrauded in this effort and lost tremendously most of the property acquired. Today, the land loss continues. The Black people were defrauded of their homes after the 2008 financial crisis. I'm sure everybody remembers that, but you didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes, and we will be talking about that. The tactics and home stealing continues today. We will be talking today, and we will be welcoming shortly Miss Liz Johnson of the NAACP, who will reveal the forces that link together this conspiratorial steal from us. Is this practice one that is destined to return us to the plantation? That's the question I ask. If we're losing our land and somebody else has it, then where are we? What do we own? What do we control? We must create a strategy to inform, educate, and stop the theft of the property owned by our forefathers and foremothers and passed on to us, their legacy. If you have lost property or know someone who has, you must join in the campaign to achieve justice for our defrauded homeowners. We must develop an action plan to counter this devastating principle. Our ancestral profile today will be Maggie Lena Walker. But before we get to that ancestral profile, and Sister Dee Dee will not be here today to do so, I will need to give that profile, but I'm just too excited because I do need to extend a healthy welcome to us, from us, to our guest, Miss Liz Johnson. Liz, you're on.
Yes, can you hear me?
Liz, hello. We're so happy to have you here with us today. And I started with an intro about what it is that we will be talking about. I'm really excited because I'm one of those people who has a piece of property, but I also inherited two other pieces of property. And the thought of losing that property and how easily this could happen until this was just brought to my attention is just really devastating. It's really kind of scary. And I've heard various people over time who said just this sort of thing has happened. Liz, what is it that you know about this subject that you want to bring to our attention?
Well, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Okay, very fine. I didn't know. Well, there are a number of things really that that really I'd like to bring to your attention, because this subject has been swirling around ever since the financial crises of 2008. And despite the fact that me and my colleagues around the country have been in courts, there have been books written about it, movies, docuseries like The Con, all about how crooked banks, hedge fund magnates, Wall Street kingpins rob people of their property. But despite the fact that we have been in the courts, we are found that we're not being successful because there are forces that are working against us, forces that only the people can help us to overcome. So what I'm on this line for today is to not so necessarily talk about what has happened, but to talk about organizing people at the grassroots to help us to fight this, because the word is out, but we don't have the secretaries, the executives, the janitors, the housewives. We don't have ordinary people joining this fight. So what we have done, we have put together an action plan that we feel can enable anyone to jump in here and say, I can help. We've got a place to put them and their talent.
Well, Liz, I'm not sure. I clearly understand, and perhaps our listeners may be in the same boat. Why is this an issue? Why is it happening, one? And why should we be concerned about this?
Well, it's happening because there are, I've been calling them bottom feeders, and those are the, as I mentioned, the Wall Street kingpins, hedge fund magnates, crooked banks, crooked politicians, who realize that property is worth a lot. And as always, we are always at the bottom of the heap in terms of property that's illegally stolen, because people are not aware of their rights. When we had the 2008 financial meltdown, we had no idea that people were getting predatory loans. They didn't realize that their loans, these adjustable rate mortgages, ninja loans, stated income, pick a payment, interest-only loans. They had no idea that these loans were predatory and that they were setting themselves up to lose their property. And once this all began to fester and the notes were being sold on Wall Street, you probably heard of mortgage-backed securities, and those things were happening. It enabled people to be set up to lose their homes. Now enter the courts. The courts really were like, this has never happened before in our society. What is going on? So despite the fact that our advocates were able to show the court through the laws, through existing laws, that you are taking people's homes illegally, the courts weren't listening. As a matter of fact, there is a very, very popular and distinct a docuseries that's on YouTube called The Con, C-O-N. And we're going to be having it on our website so we can refer people to it. And in this website, they show just how the financial community set it up so that people would lose their homes, how they would bring fake documents into court, how they would be able to go into court and lie. And the courts just backed them up. As a matter of fact, we had one of our colleagues in Florida recently who told the judge just exactly what was happening, how his client's home was being stolen. And the judge said, this is the first time I've ever heard about homes being taken illegally by the financial community. I mean, you're the only one talking about that. Why should I believe you? No one else is talking about it. Judgment for the bank. And you know what? The judge was right. We are not talking about these things as a group. We're not talking about the schemes of Wall Street. We're not grouping together. We're arguing and talking about it in our own silos. This one over here is saying, they're taking our houses this way. In California, they're taking their homes through the probate court. In Maryland, they're taking them through foreclosures. But we have not worked together, Dr. James, to come together as a group so that we can notify the newspapers, the media, the financial team, the legal team, get lawyers, and getting us all working as a group to overcome these things. And that is the reason why ordinary people don't know, is because we're not working to let them know through mediums like the newspapers, television, podcasts, Zoom meetings. We're not educating people. And that's why I'm here tonight, so that I was delighted to know that your platform reaches all over the country, because we want to organize all over the country under the banner of justice for homeowners, so that whenever we talk to the newspapers, whenever we have a podcast, we fly that banner, justice for homeowners, because homeowners need justice in this instance. I'm sorry to go on and on and on, but hopefully that begins to answer your question.
Well, I'm so happy that you got right to that point. We need people certainly to understand that your friends, your neighbors, are losing their homes. Many of them are probably in a circumstance that they are embarrassed to really talk about this. There may be some shame attached, thinking that they were not successful and they have now lost their property. And most of us don't really quite understand what's going on. Now, we've invited Liz Johnson to be here because she's been in the battle to save property and homes of homeowners since the financial meltdown in 2008. She served as the housing chairperson of the Prince George's County branch of the NAACP. I'm going to ask everybody to mute their mics so we don't have interference. Okay. As the housing chairperson of the Prince George's County branch of the NAACP and chairperson of the Housing and Alternative Dwelling Committee of the National Action Network, which was founded by the Honorable Reverend Al Sharpton. She has taken concerns to the Maryland courts, and in coalition with various housing organizations throughout the country, have worked vigorously attempting to save the homes of homeowners. Most recently, she collaborated with the Hollywood producers of the YouTube docuseries, as she mentioned, The Con, which is chronicling the activities of Wall Street kingpins, which led to thousands of homes being lost to foreclosure. And I'm sure there may be people who are listening today who know of that sort of thing happening, but did not quite understand what was the process that allowed this to happen. After many years of battling the financial community, Liz Johnson and her colleagues have come to the realization that without the help of the community, many more homes will be lost since the lifting of the moratorium on foreclosure and evictions. After many years of battling this, again, there's been an effort to examine what approach needs to be taken. What approach needs to be taken that will allow for us to salvage our homes and to prevent the bleeding of our homes? We cannot all be renters. If we are a renter, then somebody else is controlling our space. And that's not much different than being on the plantation. This is why I find this extremely, extremely concerning that we're seeing just this happen. And Liz, you've had a chance, of course, to meet people throughout the country who are aware of aspects of this issue. And in fact, you have come across one of our Milwaukee natives, someone who's well known to us, Miss Fatima Laster, who is also from Milwaukee and is familiar with some of this type of activity that's been going on. And she had some points that she wanted to share with us as well. And I believe, Fatima, you are here. And can you say, let us know you're out there?
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I'm so happy you're my neighbor. And I'm so happy that you can share with us what you've come to learn about this subject.
Well, unfortunately, through being a victim of the gentrification and the land grabbing that's going on in the area, I've learned a lot, and I, along with my neighbors and additional residents in a neighborhood association, have tried to come together to be collective against the initiatives and some of the developments coming into the area that are not requested or supported by, you know, the residents and the long-term stakeholders in the area. And so a few of the actions that we have taken were calling into the city council meetings, standing our ground on that, documenting some of the initiatives and the lack of resident involvement and engagement with the development. We've hosted two anti-displacement, anti-gentrification protests that went across the city as well, because unfortunately, it's not just our neighborhood. It's any neighborhood that's touching downtown in Milwaukee, which are highly populated by Black and Brown residents. And then we came up with a 10-point anti-displacement, anti-gentrification plan. And this has also been submitted to the city, but it's signed on by a lot of residents from the city and state, because there's a disconnect with how housing is handled between the city and the state. And so we've gotten signatures to support as a proposal to the city about how developers and developments into the neighborhood, giving residents the first right of refusals on property, pushing towards home ownership, and really making it more accessible. And so we have that 10-point anti-displacement plan that I can send over to you, but they're also available for signature with the Neighborhood Association and at my art gallery, which is in the neighborhood, the Five Points neighborhood in Milwaukee. And so it's not, of course, all-inclusive, but it's very a very good start to controlling and curbing some of just the land grabbing and the shift in power from residents into like a wealthy non-local commercial property owners and developers in the neighborhood. And the gallery is also currently hosting an anti-gentrification art exhibition, and it's not just Milwaukee-based artists discussing and making work products surrounding this topic, but it's going on until the end of the month, until October 31st, where people can learn about how artists are expressing themselves and what activism that they're partaking in around this topic, and also learn about some of the projects and developments that are infiltrating the local neighborhood. And again, they can come get this 10-point plan and sign. And we've also had a lot of additional educational programming around this topic. And one occurred Thursday, in which we watched a PBS documentary called East Lake Metal about even public housing, the displacement that goes on federally as well with some of the public housing projects. This coming Thursday, the 21st of October, we actually have some Milwaukee-based residents from Garden, from West Lawn Gardens, who will be speaking about their situation with displacement and the poor quality housing they're being put in, especially surrounding like the new affordable housing initiatives and promotion for housing that's going on. And then we'll be closing out our programming on Thursday, October 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. And we'll actually be watching the documentary that Liz brought up. We'll be watching the con in the gallery. We'll be watching part one of part five series. And then at that time, participants and viewers can sign up to be a part of the local coalition that Liz is talking about, and figure out what category that they think they can be most effective in. And then we'll also work on scheduling the viewing of the remainder parts of the con so people can also get more information and be more equipped to have dialogue and feel more knowledgeable about the subject matter too.
One of the reasons, I just might interject at this point. This is Liz speaking again. One of the reasons why I was so impressed with what Fatima was doing is because she has a plan. And her plan, along with the plan that we're talking about, is to involve the community. And I just cannot express that over and over and over again, that at this point in all of our endeavors and what we're doing, we have got to bring people into this battle. We've got to start screaming like from the housetops. We got to start letting people know that judge in Florida was right, but he was wrong. We do have a voice, but we've got to be able to organize. And I've had many people come to me and say, oh, Liz, I'd like to help. But you know what? How naive of me to think that I could do everything that was involved in making our battle successful. We needed a legal team, a media team, a financial team. We needed the Spanish-speaking community. We needed a research team. You got to have people who are savvy on the internet. We've got to have fraternities, sororities. We've got to have people come to this battle. If we don't have the people, we don't have the strength. This is a fight that has to be powered by people. And as we said in the old days, power to the people. So then I am expressing over and over and over again that people come and join with Fatima and myself. And I'm going at the end of the program, if you will allow me, I wanted to be able to share with them our email address, where they can say, okay, Liz, we're ready to be able to be on one of your teams. And we will have those teams listed on our website. But if you would like, we could talk about them now. But I don't want to belabor the point that it's team building. It is bringing in attorneys who may have a desire to do pro bono work and realize that this is something that has to be battled. We need people really who are in the media, people who have programs on television, on the radio, people who do podcasts. We need them to come to this battle and sign up and to let us know that they're willing to put their shoulder to this wheel. I keep talking about the shoulder to the wheel because we're convinced that's what it takes. It takes people to move it.
Liz, you said that you have an email address that our listeners can send their questions or their suggestions, as well as their willingness to support this effort. What is that email address?
It's
do let me share it with you. And what I'm going to be doing in the way that I wanted to collect this information from people was so that I could give it over to people like who are from Milwaukee, to give it to people like Fatima. But I wanted first to be able to have a place where we could collect it. And where they can send it to is Liz, L-I-Z, at shsmaryland.org. That's Liz, L-I-Z, at shsmaryland.org. And that's one. Is this Liz at S like in Sam, H like in Harry, S like in Sam, Maryland.org. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Okay, and also I will remind us at this time that the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee also has an email address, and so you can also send. Communicate with us through that email as well, and we will certainly make sure that it gets directed to Liz Johnson. The Sankofa's email address is sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com. So you have either way that you can send your questions, your recommendations, and your contributions that you will be offering in terms of your areas of expertise, be it on the legal side, be it the marketing, be it the legislative component. We need to make sure that we are working together. And this is something that so often happens. We recognize that there's an issue, and each one is shaking their head and moaning over it being a problem, but are we really developing strategies? And we've talked about this many times in our programs, is what kinds of solutions do we have to combat it? We are smart. We are creative. We are innovative. And we have the skills to accomplish anything if we make up our mind that that's what we're going to do. I see that our listeners are here, and I'm going to start calling on some of them and see if we've got some questions or comments for Liz or for Fatima. I see that we have 301.
Dr. James, let me interrupt you for a second. Can people mute themselves by dialing *6 or something? Because I hear all kinds of background noise. How can they mute themselves?
Can mute?
Yeah, because there's a lot of scratching and stuff going on in the background. I don't hear it now, but I was hearing it when I interrupted you. Okay, so why don't you go ahead, Dr. James?
We have a call here from 301. 601-675. Do you have a question or do you have a comment for us?
No, I don't have a question or a comment.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us today.
Mm-hmm.
414-736. 414-736.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have a question or a comment for us? 414-736. 919-625.
Hey, I'm right here, and I do appreciate the comments which have been shared.
Thank you. We have 414-687, 414-687. Do you have a question or comment for us? We have 414-640, 414-640. do you have a question or comment for us?
301-350.
301-350. Thank you. 414-403. 414-403. Do you have a question or comment for us? And I have one. I have not a number, but I see Scott is here. Scott, do you have a question or comment for us?
Are you able to hear me now that I unmuted?
Nope, you're not muted. We hear you.
My question to Ms. Johnson is where she sees the greatest focus, whether it should be on federal legislation, state legislation, local legislation, or even just going directly after local media outlets, you know, directly towards, let's say, specific judges and specific cases.
That's an excellent question, and I'm really glad that you asked that. At this point, with all that we have been doing in on all those levels, the one place where we have been deficient is organizing people at the community level. I think about what the people at organizations like Black Lives Matter, how they have jumped to the forefront because of the noise they make. I'm thinking about that judge who told our advocate in Florida, no one is talking about this. We have people who are going in, one of our people is going into a grand jury hearing on Monday and has no support from the community. So my thought about that, and I'd even like to get your feeling on whether or not you feel this is something that is right or wrong. I really feel we've got to organize at the community level because it's the community, the grassroots people who are not have not been given the opportunity, nor the guidance, if you will, Scott, to jump up into this. What is your thought on that?
Well, my original concept is that so many of these, especially in for the foreclosure situations, just happen so quickly. You know, sometimes within a matter of weeks, somebody's house is up and on the courthouse steps. So I don't know if, you know, protesting at the courthouse steps seems to be something that is, you know, too little, too late. It could get media attention, but I'm not sure whether that would really be effective because it seems so often the judges in the court, even if they have a valid argument, are basically ignoring it. I mean, it seems that even if the laws are on the books, they just don't rule on that. Proving, for example, whether the secured party or the substitute trustees even have a right to bring that foreclosure seems like it's something that's just automatically assumed until you can prove otherwise. But I'm not really sure how community activism can get it at the individual level. So it seems to be almost a trap that's set into the system where there's really no point of input until it's too late. And then all we can really seem to do is put up examples of somebody who lost their house or somebody whose loan was predatory at the very beginning of the process, but you only find out about it after they've lost it. And it seems to be a cycle that just is almost impossible to break. So trying to think of where we would get in, whether it's at a state level or whether it's a federal, saying that home ownership and whether it's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and doing it so that it's a nationwide thing all at once, as opposed to having to try to do it literally in, you know, tens of thousands of communities simultaneously. But that's not to say that the communities shouldn't all raise it, but whether it's at a federal level, state level, or just a matter of bringing these things to attention, like say by sending you examples, you know, would that be a good idea where the community could at least bring them an overwhelming number of examples so the judges, whether they're in Florida, Maryland, Texas, or California, have examples to cite saying this is, you know, similar to mine. Your ideas on that?
Well, you know, this is what we're doing. It's all about team building. What you're saying is something that could be addressed to our legal team. That legal team should be able to come up with methods to combat exactly what you're talking about. That's the legal team's duty. That legal team really is the one that feeds into the media team that would bring attention to this in the media, that we would be able to do the newspapers and podcasts. And that's what the media team does. So what we're talking about here, Scott, is to be able to build teams of people who are dealing with every aspect of this issue. There are so many issues that are inherent in this whole entire genre, so that any one person or one entity cannot put together the forces that we need to bring attention to these problems you're talking about and to do something about it. So that you're talking about could be addressed to our legal team. They would decide what to do about that. The legal team would see how to attack it if they feel that the points that you're making are legitimate. But they would be the ones who would deal with that. And I'm really hoping that we will be able to attract legal talent to the Justice for Homeowners movement, so that these legal people can bring and go on a Zoom and put their talents together and decide how we would handle those issues you're talking about. That would be the job of the legal team.
Thank you, Scott, for your points. And I'm going to go on to 414-276, 414-276. Do you have a question or comment for us today?
I guess. Am I muted now? Hello?
No, you're on.
Here we are. Yeah. So I guess my question is piggybacking off of Scott's. I think, with foreclosures, it just hits, too many different levels between, depending on who's foreclosing the property, whether it's taxes or your bank, creditors, if they can, get property that way. But, the ultimate issue is, though, that people just don't have the money to support the team that I'm hearing Ms. Johnson speak about. Is there a way to, find resources to bring this team together? Because, there's so many fights that the Black community has to endure at this point. And so are there lawyers who are interested in helping? The question is, are we already wearing them so thin on these other issues? So we have to figure out a way to nourish this group of individuals who can help. So is there a plan to address that aspect of getting that team together?
Well, let me just try to unpack that for a moment, because I hear a couple of things inherent in what you're saying. Number one, I think I heard you talk about fundraising, that you need to be able to pay these attorneys, and that's a big issue. And that's why every community and every effort needs a fundraising team. This is what they do. They devise ways to raise money for legal expenses, for people who don't have money to pay lawyers. That's what they concentrate on. So what I'm really talking about here in this plan is team building, people to handle each of these issues that are inherent in the problem, so that you have a media team. And all they do is concentrate on how we reach the media. So as I said before, what we're talking about here, we know the problem. We know it's inherent. We know about predatory lending. We know about redlining. Okay, so now what do we do about it? And we find out there's so much to be done, that until we break this down into components that can be addressed by various people and various groups, I just don't know how successful we will be. So in answer to that question, in terms of wearing out attorneys, if we have attorneys who are coming into this and they realize this, maybe wanting to do it pro bono, we don't know, but we got to put it out there. So if they're going to do this pro bono, a lot of legal firms are required to do pro bono work. Let's attract them. Let's get them to that on the community level. See what they have to say. But then by the same token, your fundraising team can be working on how do we get money? Do we go on whatever, on the media? Do we have car washes? How do we raise money for this effort? And that will solely be their work. So typically, and what I'm talking about here is building teams that handle aspects of the issue.
And I heard certainly the question that there are so many important issues going on, but there are a lot of us. And there are some subjects that we are more passionate about than others. There's some subject that we are better equipped to address. And so I don't think that our challenge really is not having the talent, but it is understanding the importance of us coming together in the teams that Liz is speaking about. Now, Liz is and those that she's been working with have created an action plan in order to address this issue. This is the ideas that they have, and there may be others of our listeners who have other points, but if there's anyone who would like to receive a copy of this action plan, I would encourage you to send an email to the email that we received from Liz today, which was Liz at shsmaryland.org, or to our Sankofa email, which is Sankofa Council MKE at gmail.com. So if you are interested in seeing the action plan that has been developed, we will be happy to see that you receive a copy of that. And that's certainly one of the ways that we can get started. And certainly just your being here today indicates a willingness to at least be informed and to learn what role you can take, what role that others that you associate with can take in keeping us off of the plantation. I can't help but keep thinking of it. I don't want to go back to the plantation. And so I'm working real hard to get my mind out of the plantation, but I certainly am not interested in returning there. So I think that this is certainly something that others will similarly find is a concern. I'm going to take a little moment here that we have to go to, and I will come back with our discussion. But this is a time that we recognize our sponsor, which is eDoc Advice, which is a website created to provide a place to go to get answers to your health or medical concerns. Are you wanting more options than you feel you were getting? We offer a program called Lifesavers that lets us help you problem solve. Go to our website and ask your question. Our experienced professionals will help you obtain the help that you need that makes sense to you. And that's www.edocadvice.com, our sponsor. We do not replace your health professionals or provide your care, but we can help you to become a better consumer so that you can get the best information to make a truly informed decision. We network with other professionals throughout the country and bring that information to you. And that is our eDoc Advice. We did not do our ancestral profile earlier because we really wanted to get into that subject. But I want to always, as we do, is acknowledge our ancestors, acknowledge our history, because an understanding of our history certainly helps us to understand what's going on around us. Our subject today is Maggie Lena Walker, who was born July 15th, 1884. And she was an African-American businesswoman and teacher This is an example of skill sets that some people have, even back in the 1800s. Walker was the first African-American woman to charter a bank and serve as its president in the United States. In 1903, we're talking more than 100 years ago, Maggie L. Walker became both the first African-American woman to charter a bank and the first African-American woman to serve as a bank president. As a leader, Walker achieved success with the vision of making tangible improvements in the way of life for African Americans. She was disabled by paralysis and used a wheelchair later in her life. Walker also became an example for people with disabilities. Walker restored a home in the historic Jackson Ward neighborhood of Richmond, Virginia. And that house is now part of the National Historic Site. Maggie Walker was a relevant name to me when I heard it because my pediatrician was named Maggie L. Walker. And I was very curious about this historical figure and a doctor, female pediatrician in Chicago. And Maggie L. Walker was the, who was my doctor, was the granddaughter of Lena Walker. So it's just very interesting, some of the history. In fact, that's the first time I ever saw a Rolls Royce on the south side of Chicago. And I inquired about this interesting looking vehicle. And I found out that was owned by my pediatrician. So Maggie L. Walker is the granddaughter of Maggie L. Walker, first banker in our country. And I'm going to close on that. As we get ready for the top of the hour, we will be back shortly.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Quojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Conley. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com. And I repeat, sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website, www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword, elders.
Welcome. We are here today talking about the Black land loss, Black land grab, a human tragedy. And we are here with our guest, Ms. Liz Johnson of the NAACP of Maryland, who is discussing with us this issue of the loss and the theft of our property, preparing us for all kinds of unfortunate things unless we come together with a strategy to combat this type of issue. I welcome any listeners to give us a call, and that number is 215-490-9832. Give us a call or listen in, pass the number along. We need you here. We need your thoughts to help come up with a strategy. And as we talked before in the earlier part of the program, if you are interested in an action plan that has been developed, seeking the support of teams of us working in the ways that we are knowledgeable, send us an email at sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com, and we can send you a copy of that action plan. Or if you have some ideas or strategies that may work either at the local level or at the federal level, we've got to approach it, I'm sure, in many ways, starting in our neighborhoods, starting in our churches, starting with our clubs. How do we combat the theft of our hard-earned properties? So we're glad that you're here with us today so that we may be able to continue this subject. Before I go into that, we began last week recognizing our COVID casualties. We are learning every day about another family member or friend who has been stricken by COVID-19 and has lost their life. Our sponsor, EDOC Advice, has asked that we recognize the passing of our COVID-19 casualties during our broadcast. We are asking that you honor those families as they attempt to move on despite the hole created by the passing of their loved ones. Remember that COVID-19 is real, and we must do all we must to prevent becoming infected. Please call in the name, city, and state of their passing and date of transition. You may also email us with this information to sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com, and we will give those names as we receive them on our upcoming programs until this problem is stopped. We have today Miss Brianna Fuller Carter, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who passed on October 11th, 2021 due to COVID. Someone that I knew, her grandmother passed the week before from COVID and was funeralized this afternoon. The family of Brianna have asked for assistance in the funeral expenses and have created a GoFundMe account for that purpose. Please share the name, city, and state at the time of their passing and the date of their passing of those you wish to commemorate here on this program. Please send your email to SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com, and we will do so on a future program. Thank you so much. Let me get back to Liz. I know you've been waiting here patiently, and we are so happy to have you here to pull our coats and let us know about this problem. Liz, we've got some callers, and I'm going to announce those. We have 262-880, 262-880. Do you have a question or a comment for Liz today?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. First, thank you for letting me say hello and speak. I'm part of the association with Fatima. So I wanted to thank you all for inviting us. But in terms of comments, just additional comments, I agree that we need to unite in, across countries. So that's one of the things that I appreciate. The other thing is digging into our family and also educating ourselves in terms of, like you said, the law, but in terms of also just all types of history. Because as you said, I can actually see it returning to fiefdom. But at the same point in time, if we are to build, then we must together work and commit and say what we are to commit to and look at all the games that are being played. One of them is follow the money train and make sure that when we're listening to people quote people, that we understand that quotes are being twisted. And I'm going to use this example. We were in a meeting yesterday and they were quoting Dr. King and using Dr. King to talk about housing, but housing in terms of apartment building. And the quotes were used, but they were used out of context. King did not tell us to fight to rent and pay people forever to live, as you all said, in their property to be kicked out. So those are some things. And the other question that I did have regarding land takeover is the question about eminent domain. I'm really working to find out where and where this concept really started, because that is a concept that people use to try and take our land and then offer us a value when we've paid three times as much for a piece of property or land that we do own. As you stated, land is the real estate, and adding the house on top is what we can do, or the apartments, whatever, on top is what we do to help us gain wealth. So thank you for that. And I've forgotten my other comment right now. And thank you to our precursor in Cobra, too, who was working for reparations in terms of land. So that's all I have to add. And Fatima did a wonderful job of saying everything what we've been doing.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your thoughts. Liz, you have some points you'd like to share?
Yes, I would. I really appreciate what the young lady just finished saying. And most of all, I'm just so delighted that I have found Fatima. And she was introduced to me by Fanny Smith. I don't know if you all know her. But I am so delighted to see the work that she has been doing. And it's such a good thing, because she has been engaging the community, and that's necessary. And this is one of the things that we are doing here as well. But one of the things that she just mentioned was about quoting Dr. King. Well, one of the teams that we have is a research team, so that they can scan newspapers, come up with these kinds of quotes, find out who are our friends, find out who is against us, so that they will know, we will know who we can depend on for various kinds of things. And that may be a little bit to the left of what she was saying, but it involves people really knowing what's going on. A research team that can tell us these kinds of things. And I just cannot thank Fatima enough for her work and the fact that she is the first person with whom I spoke to run this idea by of team building. And I was delighted when she said, I think that's a good idea. And I want to be able to say in that regard, this is not cut in stone. Hopefully some of the people who are listening with an open mind to seeing how we need to organize our communities in order to achieve these goals. I keep hammering that point home because we talk about the issues so much. People are coming, they say, what we need to do this, we should do that. But I don't hear anybody saying how to do it. And that is why we have come up with organizing people, no matter who it is, no matter who comes to the table and says, I want to help. We can say to them, we have someplace we can put you. Here are our teams. Where do you think you fit? Hopefully, when people decide that they can fit here or fit there, that they will follow through. Because one thing that we all suffer with, us advocates, is the fact that people don't follow through. So many people, like the adage says, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Well, you know, I don't think we're lazy. I think that we may not have enough guidance because not everybody is a general. I often tell people, I feel I'm a good general, but I'm a good soldier too. If you tell me what to do, I will do it. And if I feel that what you're saying has merit, I'm in. So therefore, we need generals, but we need soldiers too. And we need these generals to be able to tell people, here is where you fit. Okay, cool. Here is what we are doing in this team. Come and join us. Organize a Zoom call. Let the people in that team come to work. I keep having to say that about the teams because this is what this is all about. It is about team building, organizing people. As Bernie Sanders once said, if you're going to beat organized money, you have to organize people. So it's one thing to have people come and join join the movement, but not just to talk about what the problems are. And just as you said, Dr. James, what are you going to do? What can you do to move this along? And here are the things that we feel right now are the elements that will move this along. Where do you think you fit? Okay, if it's not there, what can you do? Can you go to your minister and say, Pastor, would you please collect the names and the contact information from your congregation? Give them this piece of paper. Let them fill out their email address, their telephone number. And guess what? When we have a letter we want to send to our councilman, we're going to send it to these people. And all they have to do is push a button and let the councilman know that there's more than just us three or four people who are advocating for this. There are a whole bunch of churches. There are a whole bunch of people, clubs, and associations that are who are backing us up with this. That's why the team building is important, so we can be focusing on each one of these elements that make this a successful movement.
Thank you, Liz.
I'm done.
We have a caller at 414-587. 414-587.
Can I say something really quick? This is Fatima. I'm not that caller.
Yes.
Liz, maybe can you explain some of the different departments or sections of the team so people have a idea of where leadership is needed within the team? so it's not so general, and you know, it'll give them more of a narrow idea of maybe where they can fit in.
I would be absolutely delighted. You know, it's just that there are like 12 different teams that we have, as you know, that we have melded this down into. There's our legal team, which hopefully is going to be that there will be attorneys and paralegals that will say, look, I want to be on the legal team because I know some legal stuff. And then there's the media team. And this team establishes and determines the best sources and methods for disseminating our communications. They identify online, the social media places, the newspapers, the televisions, podcasts, how to do Zoom meetings, and that's all they do. That's all the media team does. And then there's the financial team, which is so important. The attorneys that we have here in Maryland are exploring the idea of getting back $100,000 for everybody who lost their home to foreclosures. I don't know whether or not you know it, but Bernie Madoff, who was the person that had the Ponzi scheme going that defrauded millions of people out of billions of dollars, there is a team of trustees that are looking to claw back $50 billion from Bernie Madoff's estate to give back to the people who vote, who invested with Bernie Madoff. Heck, with every one of these cases that we have, we know who got the money. And in one case that's brought out in The Con, in that docuseries, there was one guy on Wall Street who gave himself $124 million as a bonus for what I don't know. But where is that money? Our financial team needs to find that out, because when the legal team goes into court and advocate for this money being given back to people and people who lost their homes, who get the proceeds from that home, they got to know where to find the money, because it's one thing to get a judgment, that's another thing to get the money. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. And then we have the Spanish-speaking team. We need to bring in our Spanish-speaking and brown people into this fight as well, because they lost their homes too. So we need to address that community. We have a research team, a faith-based team, and that is a most important team, is the faith-based team. They have got to get to ministers who can get to their congregations, people in their congregations who lost their homes, people in their congregations who are living in tents and in their cars and with relatives. They have got to get to their congregations to say, let us know how to get in contact with you. Give us your telephone number, your email address, some way that we can get in touch with you so that in the event that we want you to join our voice, we know how to contact you. So just write it on this piece of paper, on this form that I'm giving you. And then also that goes with our fraternities and sororities. I mean, thousands of them, thousands of people in our fraternities and sororities, many of whom lost their homes. And they don't have a clue that they signed a predatory loan or that they were scammed in the courts. They don't know that. But our legal team can help these people out. But the fraternities and sororities need to come to the table as well. And then most of all, our political action team. We need to have this team so that they can compile the contact information, telephone numbers, addresses, and emails on every relevant government and political personality that exists in your community. So that if you want to write a letter to a councilman, you don't have to say, write a letter to your councilman. Because guess what? Nobody knows their address. They don't know their phone number. They don't know anything. They're not going to do it. But if you say, here is a letter. We want you to send it to, push this button on your computer and send it to councilman or councilwoman, so on and so on. And the political action knows everybody in the Congress, the national level, they have put together people on the local level. They know where the bodies are in terms of who needs to be contacted when the legal team decides to do something. And most of all, my favorite one is the writing team. You know, people who can write press releases, who can write these letters that the legal team sees needs to be sent out to people. So if you're a good writer, that's all you have to do. When the legal team says, would you please write us a press release about this or that, the writing team can do that, and nobody else is stressed. And then, of course, there's the fundraising team, the ones who raise money some kind of way. I don't know how you're going to do it, but come up with ways to raise money. You might want to talk with the internet team who can start GoFundMe. I don't know. Maybe the churches will have a big thing. The fundraising team needs to figure out how to make money. So then all of this is about making it so nobody is stressed out with having to deal with other issues that are necessary, as I've said, to make this successful. Just work in your department, in your little team, and get it done. That way, when you're called on, you can do and put your shoulder to the wheel in order to be able to do that. But most people, to get back to the faith-based team, that's where I feel most of our people are going to come from, fraternities, sororities, and the faith-based from the churches that are going to be able to say, that's something I can do. I can write a letter. I can push a button on my computer and get this letter to the councilman, to Bernie Sanders, to Nancy Pelosi. So that's why we have to work, or why I feel we need to work in these teams. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share that.
Thank you. Liz, we have a call at 414-587. 414-587.
Yes, thank you. I think this is a very interesting topic. My question is, this effort is for individuals that have been foreclosed on, and an effort for them to be get restitution if they were part of a predatory loan, if their loan was predatory.
I guess that's a question for me, Dr. James.
Yes, it is.
Yes. What this effort is we're talking about now is team building. But let me answer that question. That's the question that you would give to your legal team at the local level. And the reason why it would be at the local level is because, as we know, all of the states are different. You're all working with different laws and rules and regulations. But a legal team that you put together at your community should be able to address that depending on the laws and the rules and regulations in your community. And yes, what we're trying to do in our community here in Maryland is we're looking to be able to put our legal team together to fight for restitution for people who lost their homes and people who were illegally foreclosed on through predatory loans and redlining. That's what we're doing here. Hopefully your team, I see you're 414, so that puts you in Milwaukee. Hopefully you all will be able to put together a team who will do the same for you.
So are these predatory practices still going on, and one should be aware? I mean, you know, many people have been buying homes, and I heard you say you want to, when you get to the foreclosure part, it's almost too late. If this is continuing, then as a home buyer or one that, you know, that owns a home, how do I know if I'm a part of that, of a predatory loan?
Well, you know, first off, I do want you to put down, I hope that you will go to our website so that you can take a look at the referral we have to that docuseries called The Con. It's a new series about the 2008 financial crises. So to try to answer your question, that's part of what we're doing also. We are trying to make the mortgage lending user-friendly, because when you go to closing and you sign those God only knows how many pieces of paper and you initial all those pieces of paper, you have 50-some pages of legalese in two-pitch on 11 by 17 paper, and you don't have a clue as to what you've signed. Most people don't even know that when they see the note and it says, this is a negotiable instrument, that note is being sold on Wall Street. That may or may not be a bad thing. But then when the time comes and they're trying to foreclose on you, you don't even know who it is that's trying to foreclose on you. It's somebody you never even heard of because your note had been sold so many times. So we are struggling. And hopefully when we put together this coalition of attorneys across the country, that we can get the mortgage lending process user-friendly. I don't think that anyone is addressing this. This gets to be something that is happening across the country because we go to closing and we don't have a clue as to what's in that fine print. So then when you're asking, how do you know? I don't know. And most attorneys don't even know. This whole dynamic of foreclosures is something that is not taught in law schools per se. You know how you have domestic relations law, you have corporate law, family relations, you have all those different kinds of laws. I have yet to speak to an attorney that studied foreclosure law. So what's happened here in Maryland is people go to attorneys who don't have a clue as to how to fight a foreclosure. They don't have a clue. We have been all up in the weeds, and we have a few lawyers here that are very, very knowledgeable. We have a young lady who has a website called Judicialpedia. It's online, Judicialpedia. I'll put the reference on my website. Mm-hmm. In that, this young lady has, I mean, she has done research on the people and the players who are foreclosing on people right now. In this area, it's someone called Mr. Cooper. It's Wells Fargo. It's Ocwen. And they are taking over people's homes. I don't know about you, but many of us here are getting calls from people wanting to buy our houses. So that the corporations are taking over homes and renting them out to people. So there's a whole dynamic undercurrent going here that behooves the financial community to take your house. Mm-hmm. So when you sit down and go to closing, I don't know what you're signing, and I can't tell you. I just know that what has happened is that when our people go to court, they'll whip out those documents in a minute and point out every little thing in those documents that will say, gotcha. So I hope that answers your question, or at least lets you know I don't know.
It does.
Yeah.
I can have a takeaway for a suggestion. Like you said, there's all different ways that are being attempted at the land grab, and such as people calling to ask you if you want to sell your home. You know, those kinds of things, you know, would be helpful for me. I'm just a community member to be aware of.
Don't say just. I am so delighted to hear from you. A community member is who we need to hear from. We need you. We need your neighbors. So please, you're not just, you are the reason why we are here, my dear.
Yes, I appreciate that. But to have an I'm speaking as a community member to understand these attempts by creditors and what one should look at, you know, when they're buying a home, when they're considering buying a home, if you're elder and, you know, what type of things may be coming at you so that you, you know, are ensured that, you know, as best you can, that this may be a predator situation.
Well, I'm glad you're saying as best you can, because the way that these people, this Wall Street and these people have this sewed up, your best is not good enough.
Mm.
That's something we're fighting for. We've got to make this so that people understand what it is they're signing. So I don't know how to help you with that. I don't know who can. Maybe perhaps when we put our legal teams together, our legal teams can help us to start advocating and lobbying for this to happen, to make the mortgage process user-friendly so people do understand what they're signing. Hopefully our political action team can advocate and lobby for this at the national level so that we understand what we're signing. Because right now, I don't know. I mean, I had to take a look at my own when I bought some property. I have to laugh at the papers that I signed. I'm like, and I thought I was informed. until, of course, I started working this arena. And when I look at those closing documents, I have to laugh at the predatory stuff that's in my own loan. I mean, it was like, I mean, so much stuff until I thought, my God. And my loan was with One West Bank, the first bank that bellied up. Well, this, my bank bellied up, and it was taken over by Steve Mnuchin, who was Donald Trump's Secretary of Treasury, him and some of his cohorts. And what they did was my loan went from $1,500 a month to $5,000 a month. And then they called in all the loans. You know, so, I had no idea that my loan was a predatory loan. I had no idea that One West Bank was a subprime bank, and that the first thing they were going to do was be to sell my note, and my note would skyrocket. I didn't know. And it's only since I had been working in this arena, doing what I'm doing, that I understand that. And we've been at this now, I've been at this now for over 10 years. And finally, I'm saying, we can't win. We've got to get people involved. So that's my own personal story. I don't mean to bore you with that, but
it's important.
Thank you.
This is Fatima. I'll also say it's local initiatives too, like tracking the rising in taxes and property taxes, which if you are a landlord, then you might be trying to pass that on for assistance to your tenants. And so that means the rental prices are going up. So it's affecting everyone in different areas, but it's trying to get ahead of it and learn about what's going on and what's causing that. So also pressuring the city and your local officials, like your alder person, and ask why is this happening and what relief can be provided, but also trying to be preventative. And this is where the 10-point anti-displacement, anti-gentrification plan that we've created comes into action, because a lot of it is speculative valuation increases. It's land grabbing that's going on behind the scenes, and then you as a, you know, hardworking resident just trying to make ends meet, you're being subject, you're paying for the wealthy's game, the wealthy people's real estate game. And so it's one of my initiatives is trying to inform on that end, but also holding the city accountable, and again giving like the residents first right of refusal for properties near them, so that they can have access to ownership versus becoming again the tenant, the sharecropper for, you know, the few elite that can amass a lot of land or displace people, bribe people out of there, or even force people out of their situations with some assistance, so that they can have some stability and roots in where they are and have choices about how they go about living their lives too. So it is an attack from many different areas. It's federal, it's local, it's the banks, it's the realtors, it's the appraisers, it's the city, it's the politicians. And so the more you know, and more collective actions and voices that hold them accountable, because a lot of people are embarrassed about, and they think they're the only one drowning in their situation. But if more people are collective and vocal about the situation going on, then it helps people be held accountable now publicly. A lot of the things are done in a private manner, and then the way it's rolled out as some benevolent project for, you know, this disadvantaged population, but they're missing a large group that they're displacing to make way for usually a higher paying demographic too. And so it's about human rights and humanity at the end of the day, and making sure that you're not displaced and be, you know, your family's not being made homeless just to create this like comfortable playground for foreign investors, wealthy investors, or a wealthier paying or higher paying demographic. There has to be space and housing for everyone. And that's what happens. That's the need at the end of the day.
Fatima, how do people get in touch with you if they want to join at one of the teams that you all have going on? How do they get in touch with you?
So I will, it might be easiest to leave the email and phone number with the Sankofa mm-hmm. group. But the gallery's number is 414-988-4021. The email address is long, which is why I say it might be easier, but it's the number 5 points, POINTS, art gallery, and spelled out, so A&D, studios, plural, studios, at gmail.com. And you can email an inquiry. You can just say, can you provide me some of the information you were referencing during this discussion? And I can forward you some of the documents that we have and send you information about the programming we have going on at the gallery surrounding this subject matter. And again, we will be at the gallery, which is located in Milwaukee. The address is 3514 North Port Washington Avenue. It's at the intersection of Port Washington and Keith. We will be showing the first part of the con, which is a 5-part series, but it is a very, very provocative, informing documentary, even within just watching the part one, on October 28th, Thursday, October 28th, from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll be viewing the documentary, and we'll have a discussion around that. And again, at that time, we'll also have out the different avenues for these teams that Liz is referencing that you can sign up for to see where you can add value, and so we can become a greater collective, local collective that will work with the national team to advance our situation. And then from there, we'll also decide on dates where we can watch the remaining 4 segments of the con documentary.
Thank you so much. Appreciate so much this very valuable information that you are sharing with us, Fatima, and also Liz. We have another call. I see not a number, but I see a name, Janice. Janice from Washington, do you have a question or a comment for us?
Hi. I am in love with Liz Johnson.
Hello, Janice. How are you?
Hi, Liz. How are you? I actually am the person that is going in front of a grand jury on the 18th. And I launched judicialpedia.com a year ago with the idea, since I'm the ex-wife of the son of a judge, and my belief is we can be as mad at these lawyers as we want, but the American Bar Association isn't going to do anything to discipline them. And the people that have control of what takes place in the courtroom is the judge. And the judge are the ones that are allowing the lying in court and the lying in court documents. And the only way to really hold the judges accountable is the way the Wall Street Journal is right now with their article regarding the federal judges. And so with Judicialpedia, you sign in and you get your own dashboard and you can put up as many cases as you want. And you need to target your judge. You need to put your case up, and then you need to put up as many other cases that you know that judge is doing the same thing to. I can guarantee you the FBI and the DOJ is reading every case that goes up on that site. Because I can tell by LinkedIn how many times I'm being watched by the Department of Justice. And if I have 12 people or the FBI, if I have 12 people on there, I can go on Judicialpedia and I see the numbers have jumped. So, I suggest anybody put their cases up there. I suggest it's free. I launched it. I'm not charging for cases to go on there. We hopefully will be launching other websites to give help to people. But
Liz has got a good handle on this, and I admire her because she's a good leader, and she can put together the outline and the plan of how to attack it. And, you know, each of us has our one thing we're good at. And Liz is good at multitasking with all of that.
And we will talk more about that because I'm going to be putting Judicialpedia on the website. We're revamping it so that people can get and all the Judicialpedia is doing. So it's good to talk with you, Janice.
Yeah. Thank you. So everybody should look at Liz's plan because, you know, all along we've been talking for years about the different things, and she's got a real good handle on it.
And what we've done, and I don't know that this is a kumbaya, you know, like a mutual admiration sort of thing, but one of the kinds of things that we're advocating, Janice, is what we have been doing for years. Everyone's been working at a different section of and part of what's going to solve this problem. But as I said, the one thing we got to do is we got to start bringing in grassroots people. So.
Yeah. And, you know, and one of the things, the purposes for launching Judicialpedia is because we have one site that we can all have our cases up, and you can put links to your documents. You can put your Facebook page link, all different kinds of things on there. And, you know, write as much as you want to on there. So, yeah, but we've got to scare them. They're not afraid of us. They have jail. They have all these things they can do to us. And now we have to find the things that we can do to them that empower us and make them afraid when we walk in the courtroom.
Exactly. And one of the things we have to also let these elected officials know that guess what? If you don't do things for the people, you won't be elected again. One of the things, as you know, Janice, that they're not afraid of is the fact that we are not coordinated. So that although we work in silos and you go in by yourself, what we need to do is we need to be having 50,000 people behind you.
Right.
So that they know that they're being watched. When they're the people in Milwaukee, their council people, they need to have everybody in Milwaukee who has anything, who's being affected and who is even concerned about people who are being affected. Those people need to be letting those people know we're watching you. We got to
we need more court watchers. We need people going into court with people. We need people, supporting each other.
Well, that's an interesting one. Watchers. I have to write that down. Maybe we'll put that under the political action team, court watchers. Okay, when the COVID is over.
Yeah, because, you know, if a judge knows somebody else is in that courtroom, because we are our own press anymore. The press is not interested unless you have a lot of money. And The Wall Street Journal, I have to give them a lot of credit. They actually wrote about some of my judges who had financial conflicts. And I even put that in my recusals of the judges. So what they've done now for me is just reopened everything, which I'm very grateful. But those are the things that the judges are afraid of, is the press. I mean, Merrick Garland, he knew that Chief Judge Roberts of the civil court in D.C., the federal court in D.C. is unique. It's the civil rights court of our country. He raped a 16-year-old. It took that girl 30 years to get him held accountable. And Merrick Garland, who was supposed to be the person that held him accountable, ignored it for as long as he could. And then when he was forced to accept it and do something about it, he recused himself because he didn't want it on his record that he had let the guy off. So what they did is they went ahead and retired him early with more money than he was making as the head civil rights judge in D.C. federal court.
Well, you know, these are the kinds of things that we have to be able to get our court watchers. I like that. And we have to get our political action people. These are the kinds of things we got to let people know so they'll know who to vote for, and make these judges and make these politicians afraid of us. But we've got to do, as we're saying, we've got to coordinate, and we've got to be able to have a plan to let them know that we know and we're watching.
Well, and that case is on Judicialpedia.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you, Janice.
Thank you.
Liz, have a nice evening. We have another caller, 414-554, 414-554.
Thank you, ladies, and I really appreciate this important Black affairs topic. I had a question for Liz. Fatima is definitely somebody, Fatima is somebody I definitely feel is important to reach out to, and will be doing so. But Liz, I heard you bring up a website, and if you could repeat the website again, I would greatly appreciate it, and I will bow out. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to give you my website, wherein I said to you all have to forgive me when I stumble over her name, because I spend time in the Middle East, and they pronounce her name Fatima. And so I keep going blah, 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 like I can't say Fatima. And I had mentioned to Fatima that I would give out my website, and then when people from her area would come into my website, I would shoot it back to her. So let me share it with you, my website. It's Liz, L-I-Z, at shsmaryland.org. That's S like in Sam, H like in Harry, S like in Sam, maryland.org. Liz at shsmaryland.org.
And also, if you'd like, you can send to the Sankofa Council, mke@gmail.com. Thank you so much. That was our sister Fua from the Sankofa Council, who was our last listener, and we're so happy that you joined us today. We have a caller at 414-218, 414-218.
Are you sure that's not me? That sounds like me.
Oh, Fatima. Yes, it is. That's Fatima. 414-758, 414-758.
Thank you, Sankofa. And thank you, Fatima, and thank you, my friend Liz Johnson, for giving this information out. Yes.
You're most welcome.
This is Charles Robinson, and I'm a member of Sankofa.
I'm sorry. I like to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm currently in a training program that's based in California, and we just had a break. Oh. I just want to make sure I got a chance to say thank you. This is an urgent matter, and we need all hands on deck.
Welcome
we need
back, everyone.
We need an army, and I'm glad to hear that you're pulling the army together.
Wow, you're in training. I thought you knew it all, Charles.
Yes, we've been real fortunate. Our Sankofa members have been with us here. We had Sister Dorothea, who was with us today, and Afua Mayat, who is here with us today, and Charles Robinson, along with our other listeners today. Liz Johnson, it was such a pleasure to have you with us to help to open our eyes, to help to encourage us in the process of getting mobilized toward this effort, so that we do not lose our homes, do not lose our neighborhoods to people that who are coming in to take over. And we cannot allow them to take over. This program is looking for sponsors. We welcome sponsors. If you have a service you want others to know about, have you written a book we need to read? Consider becoming a sponsor. Send us an email at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. Support the program that is working for you by bringing to you information you will not hear elsewhere that you need to know. Contributions to support our broadcasting efforts can be made to PayPal Sankofa_think@outlook.com. We are most appreciative of all of the listeners. My gosh, you really had some good points that you brought with us, and we hear you listening and go to the archives and listen again, because there are things that we've talked about that are just golden, and we want you to make sure that you understand, you heard it, and you can pass this along to others, because these are some real gems that came here today. We want to thank all of you for joining us today. I thank also the Sankofa Council for its support of this program and for sharing their vision for unity following Afrocentric principles and helping us to learn and use those principles in our lives. We look forward to bringing to you more programs that we hope you will enjoy. Visit our sponsor, www.edocadvice.com. Good night. Stay safe, the Sankofa family, and all of you. Until next time, your host, Dr. Janine James and Sister Dee Dee Conley.
People's hands all around. Go underground, young man.